If you have a Bible today, turn to John chapter 9. John chapter 9. Ever look back on something and you get discouraged with yourself? Ever have any, I wish I would have's, you know? Or what else do they call that? If onlys? You know, if only I'd have done this, if only I'd have done that. And you look back and regret is a big problem many times. And we look back at things, but we're going to look at John chapter 9. The title of the message today is Nothing is Wasted. And we'll keep that in mind as we go through the scripture. To waste something is a tragedy, but nothing is wasted on God. And we'll see that as we go through. So if you have a Bible, we'll begin reading in John chapter 9 and verse 1. John chapter 9 and verse 1. And as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Jesus answered, Neither hath this man sinned nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. Boy, that's a powerful truth. I don't want to take the time on that now, but we'll come back to that. He said, I must work the works of him that sent me. While it is day, the night cometh when no man can work. As long as I am in the world, Jesus is speaking, I am the light of the world. He is the great I am. I am the way, the truth, I am the bread of life, I am the door. But he says, I am the light of the world. And the light had gone out in the temple for a long time. The Pharisees and the religious people, it was more like a duty. More of a law, keeping the law, more of a ritual. And so here's Jesus. He's the light of the world. He was the Lamb of God. And remember, they sacrificed him. He became the Passover lamb. But the Bible goes on in verse 6, and it says, When he had thus spoken, he spat on the ground and made clay of the spittle, and he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay, and said unto him, Go wash in the pool of Siloam, which is by interpretation sent. He went his way, therefore, and washed, and came seeing. The neighbors, therefore, and they which before had seen him that was blind, said, Is not this he that sat and begged? Some said, This is he. Others said, He is like him. But he said, I am he. Now, if you study real hard, that really means it's me. That was a joke. You know, you're supposed to like, I am he, it's me. Okay, moving right along. Therefore said they unto him, How were thine eyes opened? He answered and said, A man that is called Jesus made clay, anointed mine eyes, said unto me, Go to the pool of Siloam and wash. And I went and washed, and I received sight. That is exactly what happened. You know, sometimes as a new convert, how do I witness to people? Just tell them what happened. Amen. Just go through it. Here's one verse. He told them what happened. And I think they got the picture. But there's so many lessons in John chapter 9. And we'll just take these first 11 verses and ask God to help us. So let's bow our heads, please. Father, we so appreciate your word. And Father, I pray that this book, this living book, this living word would have an effect on us today. May we love you more. May we know you better. God, just minister to us as we preach and as we hear. And we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Tremendous, tremendous. Think of what this man went through all his life. He was born blind. And the handicap that was, the things that he missed out on, all of the joys, maybe all of the sights, all of the beauty that he never saw. And now he's received sight. What's he thinking about now? I don't think he's thinking about all the past. I think he's thinking about what's going on right now, how amazed he was to see and to experience sight, don't you? I mean, why would he be thinking about, man, I wish you would have come a long time ago, you know? I think he was just enjoying that he could see today. Regret for years of being blind or rejoicing that he could now see? I'll take the latter. Amen. It's human nature to be negative sometimes. I know you pretty well. I don't know of a person here that has ever had a negative statement or a negative thought. It's amazing. I mean, this is an amazing church, you know. But sometimes we get there, don't we? And we think about the regrets, and we think about the if-onlys. You know, if only I'd have done this or done that. We're not to forget all the Lord's benefits. And if we see His mercy is new every day, amen, and you can start new every day, there's such a blessing in that. Let's just go back to John chapter 5, just back a little ways, John chapter 5. We'll read another story here. In verse 1 of John chapter 5, the Bible says, "After this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there is at Jerusalem by the sheep market a pool which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having five porches. In these lay a great multitude of impotent folk, a blind, halt, withered, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain season into the pool and troubled the water. Whosoever then first, after the troubling of the water, stepped in was made whole of whatsoever disease he had. And a certain man was there which had an infirmity 38 years. That's a long time to have an infirmity, 38 years. When Jesus saw him lie and knew that he had been now a long time in that case, he said unto him, 'Wilt thou be made whole?'" Good question. "The impotent man answered him, 'Sir, I have no man, when the water is troubled, to put me into the pool. But while I am coming, another steppeth down before me.' Jesus saith unto him, 'Rise, take up thy bed, and walk.' And immediately the man was made whole, and took up his bed, and walked. And on the same day was the Sabbath." That's interesting. Listen to some of these things. Here's his response when Jesus said, "Do you want to be made whole?" He said, "If only someone cared enough. If only someone would help me. If only I was as strong as others. If only I hadn't missed the opportunity. If only I had a chance." You find that in that text. But now Jesus heals him, right? And oh, what's he thinking? "If only you'd have come sooner." I don't think he's thinking that. Amen. I think the rapture and the joy and the excitement of now I'm healed, I think that all of those past thoughts, you know, if only somebody helped me, man, why didn't they help me? And boy, they beat me to the punch, you know. All he's thinking about is, man, I'm healed. Boy, look at what God has done for me. You think in Acts chapter 3 of the man who was begging, the lame beggar at the temple, and Peter and John were there, and he was asking for money. And Peter said, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." Every day that guy would go there and sit at the steps of the temple and beg. And immediately this man received strength in his legs, and he got up and he was walking and leaping. And there was a third thing he was doing. I can't remember what it was. Walking. And he was praising God. Yeah, he was walking and leaping and praising God. He wasn't saying, "Why didn't you guys come sooner?" He was just happy that he was able to walk, and he was leaping and praising God. Mark chapter 14, there's a woman by the name of Mary, and she brought an alabaster box of ointment, very precious, of spikenard, very precious. And she broke the box, and she poured it out on the Lord. And the disciples had indignation. The Bible says, that's Mark 14. If you go back to John chapter 12, Judas said, "Why wasn't this sold for so much and given to the poor?" This he said, not that he cared for the poor, but he was a thief because he held what was in the bag. Amen? He was the treasurer. Amen? Don? Yeah. But anyway, he was a treasurer and he held what was in the bag. And but his accusation got to the disciples. So they were indignant in Mark chapter 14. Jesus said, "Let her alone. She hath wrought a good work on me. Whatsoever she hath done shall be remembered as a memorial for her, because she hath anointed me before the burial." That was great faith. There's a lot of truth in there. But this is what the disciples said. "Why this waste of the ointment made?" I just want to say today, you can never waste anything on Jesus. You can't waste time. You can't waste money. You can't waste love. You can't waste prayer. Nothing. You cannot waste a thing on the Lord. It's all profitable. He's worthy of everything anyway. Amen? In 2 Samuel chapter 23, David and his men are fighting the Philistines. And in verse 15, it says, "And David longed and said, 'Oh, that one would give me a drink of the water of the well of Bethlehem, which is by the gate.'" And he was a little bit outside of Bethlehem, but the enemy was controlling Bethlehem. In the very next verse, verse 16, "And the three mighty men of his break through the host of the Philistines and drew water out of the well of Bethlehem that was by the gate and took it and brought it to David." I mean, can you imagine these three soldiers breaking through the enemy lines just to get a drink of water out of the well of Bethlehem for David, their king, because they overheard him say something. He had a wish. He had a whim. He said, "Boy, if I only had a drink of that cool water from Bethlehem." And they risked their lives to do that. I mean, that's pretty important. Amen. We've got a king. Amen. And we do things for our king. We find out what's on his heart and his mind. But the rest of the verse says this: "They took it and brought it to David. Nevertheless, he would not drink thereof, but poured it out unto the Lord." He wouldn't even drink it. It was too great of a sacrifice for him to satisfy his flesh with it. And he poured it out as an offering for the Lord. I don't believe his three men got upset with that. I believe they did it for him, whatever he wanted to do with it. Sometimes we give our lives to the Lord, but we want him to do this with it. Amen? But when we do something for God, he can do whatever he wants with it. Amen? And sometimes you may give time or prayer or work or labor or material things, and it seems like God does nothing with it. It's all up to him. We did it for him. Amen? So nothing is wasted. Boy, man, you see what David did with the water? He just wasted it. You know, there's no waste with the Lord. Jeremiah chapter 18, I have about 20 more stories to go through, amen? But it's not a waste of time. You get it? Got it? Okay, all right. Jeremiah 18, we have the story of the potter. And God is the potter, Israel is on the wheel. And the Bible says in verse 4, "And the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter," the nation was. "So he made it again, another vessel, as seemed good to the potter to make it." In Psalm 119, three times the Bible says, "Before I was afflicted, I went astray. But now I see, but now I know, but now I feel." Sometimes affliction is the best thing for us. God knows. In verse 6 of that same chapter, "O house of Israel, cannot I do with you as this potter? Saith the Lord, behold, as the clay is in the potter's hand, so are ye in my hand, O house of Israel." And he made it again. He made it better. He got the impurity out, like burning the dross off or pruning, like John chapter 15. It produces more fruit, and the Lord knows that. So we commit ourselves to the Lord because whatever you want, Lord, however you want to use my life, I'm here. Boy, that's a blessing. Amen? It's just such a blessing. Joel chapter 2 and verse 25. God says, "I will restore to you the years that the locust hath eaten, the cankerworm, the caterpillar, the palmer worm, my great army which I sent among you." God will restore. I believe I preached a message here, or maybe referred to it. The message was entitled "The Prison of Providence." And nobody wants to go to prison. If you go through the scriptures, prison today is not like it was back in the day. But sometimes God allowed some of his precious souls to be in prison. We have Genesis 39:20. Joseph's master took him and put him into the prison, a place where the king's prisoners were bound, and he was there in the prison. He was there a couple years. Didn't know when he'd ever get out, but God had given him a dream. He was in prison because somebody lied about him. He had been mistreated most of his life. His brothers were jealous. I mean, we know as we go through this. But God had a purpose of having Joseph in that prison. And God worked it all out where he came out of that prison, and he really salvaged and saved the lives of all of his family, all of his posterity. But he said to them one day, you meant it for evil. Listen to it. God meant it for good, to save as it is this day much people alive. What did God mean for good? He meant the time in prison. He meant how his brothers hated him and put him in that pit and were going to kill him, but God didn't allow that. And he was purchased as a slave. And the whole story, you meant it for evil. God meant it for good. That's the exact quote from the scripture. Amen? So we give our lives, okay, whatever you want to do with me, Lord. We read about Paul. I know I'm a broken record on this. I said that last week. Some of you don't know what a record is, but maybe I'm like a broken 8-track. Amen? That won't work. That won't work. But here's Paul. He's preaching. He's doing the work of God. And he ends up in prison. His back is bloodied. He is in his hands and feet are in stock. He's going to die in the morning. He's singing in prison at midnight. God had a purpose for him to be there. Amen. The prisoners heard the singing. There was a great earthquake. Nobody left. The jailer got saved. The prisoners got saved. But somebody had to pay the price. Amen. And the Apostle Paul did that. He said, I've suffered the loss of all things and count them but dung, that I may win Christ. Powerful. Nothing's wasted on the Lord. No, I wasted all that time in prison. It doesn't matter where he places you. It doesn't matter how he uses you. Amen. It's profitable because nothing is wasted. What a blessing. I think it's a miracle. Our lives are a miracle if we could only see it. How he puts us together with other people. How in his providence he accomplishes something. Amen. I want to see several things tonight or today about the healing of the blind man. Number one, God doeth all things well. Number two, his timing is perfect. And number three, he has a plan. Amen? Did it ever occur to you that nothing ever occurred to God? He knows. He knows the end from the beginning. Amen? He knows exactly what's going to happen. You know there will be no regrets in heaven? No regrets. If you're saved by the blood of Jesus Christ, when you get to heaven, the judgment seat is another picture. But when you get to heaven, there will be no regrets. How could it be heaven if you lived with regrets? You know? He's going to wipe away all tears from our eyes. In Luke chapter 23 and verse 42, the Bible says this about the thief on the cross. He said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus said, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. What was he thinking? What was the thief thinking at that moment? Wow, I got in. Amen? Paradise. I'm going to be with the Lord. Today thou shalt be with me in paradise. The Lord didn't say, nah, you crook. You know, this is jailhouse religion. This is battle foxhole religion. You don't really mean this. He said, today you'll be with me in paradise. That's so special. It's so special. Revelation 21:4. God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. They're all done away. You know, Jesus said he'll take our sins and bury them in the deepest sea. I'll remember them no more. Amen? It's going to be a blessed time. In John chapter 3, Jesus answered, neither hath this man sinned nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. He was blind that one day Jesus could come along and give him his sight, that the works of God should be made manifest in him. That was the affliction. Amen? I'm blind. And everybody knew he was blind from his birth. They all knew that. What happened to you? Well, let me tell you. I once was blind, but now I see. There's nothing like a testimony. Amen? But to have a testimony, sometimes people need to see that you're human. This is who you were, but this is what God did for you. Amen? It's a blessing. John chapter 11, Jesus raises Lazarus from the grave. That's a familiar story with most of you. And he was in a certain place and he heard that Lazarus was sick, that he had died, and he delayed his coming. And let me just say, it was a divine delay. You know, God's never late. Amen? He's never early. He's right on time all the time because he doeth all things well. And so he comes to where Lazarus is. It says in verse 4, when Jesus heard that, he said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of Man might be glorified thereby. And so he goes. And as he's going, Martha comes out to meet him. And Martha says to him, if thou hadst been here, I don't want to put an extra word in there, if thou hadst been here, our brother had not died. In other words, if only you'd have been a little earlier. If only you'd have come on time. Jesus is always on time. No, Lazarus died. He was late. What's it say? This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. That's what Jesus said. That's the word of God. So it's true. Amen? So Martha says, if thou hadst been here, our brother had not died. And a little bit later, Mary comes out. If thou hadst been here, our brother had not died. They both say the same thing. And Jesus said, watch this. Again, you have to study to see where that's. That's another joke. But anyway, he didn't say, watch this. But he called out Lazarus from the grave. Amen? He wasn't late. He allowed that so that they could see. It didn't really affect them because they wanted to kill Lazarus again. But if they would have, Jesus would have just raised him again. He died twice, physically. Amen? It's interesting. It's another sermon. You're too late. He's never too late. God's never too late. There's a purpose. He's always on time. All those years that Christ might have an opportunity. All those days in the tomb that Christ might have an opportunity. All those days of lying by the pool of Siloam that Christ might have an opportunity. All those days begging outside the temple that Christ might have an opportunity. McShane, Robert Murray McShane, I don't know if you've ever read anything by him. He's an old Scottish preacher, tremendous. But he said, do not fear the frown of the world. When a blind man comes against you in the street, you're not angry at him. He bumps into you. You understand he's blind, or he would not have hurt me. Say the same of the people of this world when they speak evil of Christians. They are blind. They're just blind. And blind people cannot see it. They just cannot see. 1 Corinthians 6:11. By the way, in John chapter 9, the Pharisees were questioning this blind man who could see now, but they were spiritually blind. They were more blind than the blind man was. And you come to the end of the chapter, and they said to Jesus, are we blind also? Perfect. Jesus is going to say something that's going to help them. And he said, if ye were blind, you would be able to see. But because you say you see, therefore you're going to remain blind. All the fitness he requireth is for you to fill your need of him. God, I don't see everything right. Isn't that a good statement? Amen? If you're here today and you say, I got it all figured out. I see everything right. It doesn't matter. Tell me anything. I've got the answer. We don't have the answers. He has the answers. Amen? And we need his sight. 1 Corinthians 6:11. Such were some of you. But ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. Such were some of you. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound. It saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I see. You know who wrote that? John Newton. He was a slave trader. How did he go from that to that? This is the most famous song in the world. Like John 3:16 is the most famous Bible verse. Amen? But this one came from a man's testimony. Great, great song. Eric Fromm, and this is a paragraph, so it's a little lengthy, but it's really, really good if you can kind of focus in on it. A man sits in front of a bad television program and doesn't know that he's bored. He joins the rat race of commerce, where personal worth is measured in terms of market values, and he's not aware of his anxiety. Ulcers speak louder than words. Theologians and philosophers have been saying for a century that God is dead. But what we confront now is the possibility that man is dead, transformed into a thing, a producer, a consumer, an idolater of other things. And this is what I'm adding. And he couldn't see it. There are so many people in this world, their whole life is wrapped up in this or this or this. And they don't see it. Where God, who created all things, amen, and Paul said, I want to glorify him, whether by life or by death, and it doesn't matter, whatever you want from me, Lord, because he's Almighty God. And one day we're going to live with him forever in a place called heaven. We're just passing through. And yet it seems like the whole focus is on this life and not the next life. And any little thing we can do or big thing we can do for him is not wasted. Amen? It's just a blessing for us to do. 2 Corinthians 4:4, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. Blinded the minds of them that believe not. But what about us? Okay, I'm here today and I'm saved, and so I've seen the gospel, I've seen that Jesus died for me, and I believe that. Except a man be born again, he cannot see. Okay, so our eyes are open to salvation. But that's only the beginning. Amen? Open our eyes. Who said that? The psalmist said that. Open mine eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. I got a call from, or actually I called, there was a call, and I called it back, of a friend of mine who'd been pastor for about 30 years. He's been a pastor. And he said he wanted to share something with me. And he said, I just came to see this, and we talked about it, and it was a tremendous truth from the scripture. He says, I just came to the place in my life where I can see that. Wow. 30 years pastoring. Nobody attains. Amen? We press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. But we want our eyes open, because day by day, the Lord teaches us. Amen? And he opens our eyes and he shows us all of these wonderful, wonderful things. And I thought that was such a blessing. That was last night. My message, I love it when my message is done and something happens like that. Thanks to Cheryl for putting these songs up. It's just perfect. It all goes together. In Mark chapter 10, there's a blind Bartimaeus. And he's by the side of the highway and he's begging, and Jesus is coming by. And Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And shut up. He doesn't want anything to do with you. Just be quiet. You know, he's passing by. And so he's louder. Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. Jesus stood still and said, what wilt thou that I should do unto thee? This is what Bouchier writes about that. What wilt thou that I should do unto thee? Was the gracious inquiry of the loving Jesus to the poor longing soul. Lord, that I may receive my sight, was the instant answer. Solomon, what do you want me to do for you? Ask anything you want, and I'll do it. Oh, how about a week's vacation? Duh. Amen. He said, I need wisdom. I'm like a little child. Oh, that's a good thing to say. I'm like a little child. I don't know how to go out, and I don't know how to come in. God resists the proud. He gives grace to the humble. Amen. When we're willing to follow him, boy, where he leads me, I will follow. I'm like a little child. I don't know how to go out and come in. I got to have wisdom. Wow. God gave him wisdom. Here he says, what do you want me to do for you, Lord, that I might receive my sight? So here in the same spirit, And to the same compassionate and loving Lord does the psalmist say, open thou mine eyes, and both in this and the preceding petition, deal bountifully with thy servant. So what do you want God to do for you today? Just open my eyes, Lord, because I haven't seen it all. We walk by faith and not by sight, right? So that's the Christian life. We walk circumspectly, Ephesians tells us. We walk wisely. But we walk by faith and not by sight. And we have an eye of faith. And that eye of faith leads us, and we see it every day, every circumstance, every situation, because the Word of God, what's the verse? Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So that's how we walk by faith. We see what the Bible has to say about it. William Cowper wrote, if it be asked, seeing David was a regenerate man and so illumined already, how is it that he prays for his eyes to be opened? The answer is easy, that our transformation is wrought by degrees. The beginnings of light in his mind made him long for more. For no man can account of sense but he who hath it. And the light which he had caused him to see his own darkness, he therefore wants more light. God, give us light. And the more light you see, the more light you'll want to see. Amen? And you'll walk on to know the Lord. Jesus healed a blind man, and he said, what do you see? And he said, I see men as trees walking. So the Lord touched him again. Now what do you see? I see all men clearly. Salvation is immediate, but growth, right? Your babes in Christ, as newborn babes in Christ, desire the sincere milk of the word that ye may grow thereby. There's little children in the Bible. There's young men in the Bible. There's Paul the aged. And we grow up, amen, into our faith. What have you seen? What do you want to see? I've seen it all, you know. Not spiritually, you haven't. And if you want to see it, God wants to open our eyes. We have our senses exercised, our discernment exercised. And so God does that for us. How about this verse? Proverbs 4:18, the path of the just is as a shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. It's not all done. Every day is an experience for the Christian. Every day is like, what are you going to show me today, Lord? How am I going to grow today? Grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The path of the just, shining light, shines more and more unto the perfect day. We're a walking miracle of the grace of God. Everybody that's saved, you're a walking miracle. And every day is miraculous. But why did he wait so long for you? I was 22 years old when I accepted the Lord. Why couldn't I have been 12? That's not up to me. Amen? I'm just thankful I got in. I'm saved because my wife got saved. And then she got me to go to church. I thank her, and you can ask her. She's in Sunday school, but you can ask her. I thank her all the time for my salvation. She was the instrument. She was the tool. I know there were a lot of other influences, but what a blessing. Amen? Just to be saved. I'm glad it wasn't 32 or 42 or 52. I'm going to stop there. Amen? Romans 9:20. Nay, O man, who art thou that repliest against God? Shall the thing that formed it form say to the thing that formed it, why hast thou made me thus? Hath not the potter power over the clay? Referring back to that story in Jeremiah 18. God, why? He said, because I'm God, and this is profitable. We'll see that. The potter's house. You know, Daniel Webster, who was in the Senate back in the 1800s, said this in 1848. Think about this for a wise statement. I have never heard of anything, and I cannot conceive of anything more ridiculous, more absurd, more affrontive to all sober judgment than the cry that we are profiting by the acquisition of New Mexico and California. I hold that they are not worth a dollar. We shouldn't buy New Mexico and California. That's what he said in the Senate, you know. Why waste our money on, well, maybe that would have been a good thing, you know. That's another joke there, okay. But, I mean, can you see how intelligent people can miss so many things? The Wright brothers, what was it, 1903? Anybody, history buffs? I think it was 1903. That's when they flew. But there were people that were saying there's absolutely no way you could ever get anything to fly. Aren't you thankful for them, Gino? Amen. Amen. Montesquieu wrote this in 1743. The population of the earth decreases every day. And if this continues in another 10 centuries, the earth will be nothing but a desert. Duh. I mean, that's not the way it went. Were you ever blind about anything? I was blind about salvation. I was. I grew up, I went to catechism, I did this. No desire for God, nothing. It was later in my life that God did that for me. Put that in my heart, amen. Gave me the gospel and I believed it. It's a blessing. I was blind. I remember when I first started pastoring. Boy, how long ago was that? 1980, when I first started pastoring as a four-year-old little boy. And absolutely amazing. But so much I didn't see, you know. But you've got the position, so you have to know, because you're teaching. So you have to know. You're the pastor. You'd be amazed at what I don't know. I don't know more than what I know. Amen. And it seems like the longer you're a Christian, the less you know, because God, that well so deep, so deep. What a blessing. Were you ever blind? 2 Peter 1. The word is a light that shined in a dark place. There's no want of light in the scripture. It has all the light, but sometimes there's a veil over our eyes, and God can take that veil away. Ecclesiastes 3:11, he hath made everything beautiful in his time, and my times are in his hands. I'll close with this story about the prodigal son. If there was ever a wasted life, or that somebody called a wasted life, it would be the prodigal. It would be his life. He wasted the influence of his home, the training of his father. He wasted his reputation. He wasted years, money, health. He wasted so much. And so we think, when we read his story, we think immediately of a wasted life. He wasted his substance on riotous living. That's what the scripture said. So it's true. He wasted his substance. But although he wasted his life, I think the story of the prodigal son is more about the salvaging of a life than the wasting of a life. There's a song we sing, I've wasted many precious years, now I'm coming home. And it's a song about the prodigal, probably. Isaiah 51:3. For the Lord shall comfort Zion, he will comfort all her waste places. He will make her wilderness like Eden, her desert like a garden of the Lord. Joy and gladness shall be found therein, thanksgiving and the voice of melody. I will change the waste places. There was a time when Israel said, how shall we sing the Lord's song in a strange land? But God brought them out of captivity, and now it's the voice of the bridegroom, it's the voice of the bride, it's a melodious song. Isaiah 52:9, break forth into joy. Sing together, ye waste places of Jerusalem. For the Lord hath comforted his people. He hath redeemed Jerusalem. 58:12, and they that shall be of thee shall build the old waste places. Thou shalt raise up the foundations of many generations. Thou shalt be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of paths to dwell in. That's what God does. All of our lives, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. It's just where you want to plug your age in. Amen? It's just where you want to talk about what you've done in your life and all the regrets and all the sins and all the mistakes. God washes all of that away. Amen? Can you imagine, and you know the story of the prodigal son, I won't go through the whole thing, but the best robe was for the worst son. The best robe was given to the son that wasted everything. He wasted his life, his money, his reputation, his health, everything. And the father, who is a picture of God, said, bring the best robe. I think that's amazing. Amen? I like the mercy of God. You say, well, I think you're erring too much on the mercy and the long-suffering and the kindness of God. I'd rather err on that side of the fence than that side of the fence. 2 Timothy 4:11, remember John Mark? He quit. He was a quitter on one missions trip. Paul says, only Luke is with me. Take Mark, bring him with thee, for he is profitable to me for the ministry. In Philemon, remember Onesimus? He was the runaway slave from his master, Philemon. Paul knew Philemon. He knew him personally. He had been a blessing to him many times. Paul and Onesimus end up in prison together, in jail together. You imagine ending up not right with God in jail with the Apostle Paul? Well, Onesimus got saved, and Paul wrote a letter back to Philemon. And he said, which in time past about Onesimus was to thee unprofitable, but now profitable to thee and to me. He wasted his life, but now he's profitable. Amen. And if God does something for you, don't worry about what you've wasted. Enjoy what you have. Amen. I should have witnessed to him. Maybe so. So witness to the next person. Amen. I should have lived my life for the Lord, but I wasted. That's okay. Sometimes, like the prodigal, people have to go away to come back to see what's really important in life. Twice in the text of the prodigal son, I'll just read these two verses. In Luke 15:24, the father said when his son came and he ran out to meet him, he said, this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found, and they began to be merry. Who began to be merry? The prodigal, the father, and the servants. That's when they had the big party. They killed the fatted calf. Amen? So he said, this is my son. He was dead. He's alive. He was lost. He is found. Let's make merry. But the same thing was said by the father to the elder brother. In verse 32, it was meet that we should make merry and be glad, for this thy brother was dead and is alive again and was lost and is found. Twice the same thing is said. Was dead and is alive, once to the prodigal and the servants, once to the elder brother, and was lost and is found. To one, they enjoyed it. They made merry. To the other one. There was anger, great anger. I'm glad for whatever God does in somebody's life, no matter what they've been or what they've done. Amen? Because that just shows his mercy. That just shows his love. That shows his compassion. There's no grudge, no rejection from God in our text. The grudge and the rejection come from the elder brother. I want to read something in Matthew. If you want to turn there, you can. It's Matthew chapter 20, and I will close with this. Matthew chapter 20, beginning in verse 1. For the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man that is an householder, which went out early in the morning to hire laborers into his vineyard. And when he had agreed with the laborers for a penny a day, he sent them into his vineyard. And he went about the third hour, and saw others standing idle in the marketplace, and said unto them, go ye also into the vineyard, and whatsoever is right I will give you. And they went their way. Again he went out about the sixth and ninth hour, and did likewise. And about the 11th hour he went out, and found others standing idle, and saith unto them, why stand ye here all the day idle? They say unto him, because no man hath hired us. He saith unto them, go ye also into the vineyard, and whatsoever is right, that shall ye receive. So when even was come, the Lord of the vineyard saith unto his steward, call the laborers and give them their hire, beginning from the last unto the first. And when they came that were hired about the 11th hour, they received every man a penny. Uh-oh, you know where this is going, and you've probably read it before. They only worked an hour. I've been here all day. That's what the prodigal's brother was saying. How can you do that for him? I've been here. I've done the right thing all this time. Look at the sacrifice I've made for you. The Bible goes on in verse 9, and when they came that were hired, 11th, okay, verse 10, but when the first came, they supposed that they should have received more, and they received every man a penny. And when they had received it, they murmured against the good man of the house, saying, these last have wrought but 1 hour, and thou hast made them equal unto us, which have borne the burden and heat of the day. But he answered one of them and said, friend, I do thee no wrong. Didst not thou agree with me for a penny? Take that thine is, go thy way. I will give unto this last even as unto thee. Is it not lawful for me to do what I will with mine own? Is thine eye evil because I am good? Here's the water we risked our lives for, David. You're our king. We heard you. We overheard you say, oh, if you only had a drink of water, here it is. Amen? I bet they felt pretty good about that, you know? And then David took it and poured it out. He said, I can't drink this. It's too precious. It's too holy. I'm going to offer it to the Lord. Be holy. Walk in true holiness. He's worthy of all of that. Amen? But is my life going to be wasted? Not if it's for him. Not if it's for him. Well, how can I ever make up for? You can't. You can't. But you can be forgiven for it. And now you can start on that road of faith, and you can please the Lord. Amen. What's it going to be like one day, folks, when we get to heaven? Amen. We're enjoying time with the Lord. We will be so thrilled with all of that. There's so much to do for him. Amen. Maybe we could take someone to heaven with us. Amen. Maybe we can pull a weed for Jesus. Amen. Sometimes the most insignificant things, it pleases him so much. Let's bow our heads, please. Father, thank you. Thank you for the blessings of mercy, of grace, of forgiveness, of help, strength. Thank you for every person here, Lord. Every person here that knows you is just a miracle of your grace. And how we rejoice with them that they see and know you. Lord, we're all just on this journey. And we do pray that you'd open our eyes. Help us not to stumble. Help us not to see the lights of the big city or the lights of Sodom and head in the wrong direction. I pray, Lord, help us to follow you. Bless in all that has been said today and how we receive it now in Jesus' name. Amen.